Welcome to the podcast of Reverend Daniel Agbesi. Reverend Daniel Agbesi is the founder and head pastor of Peacekeepers Assembly International, located at Kwabena, adjacent to the community hospital. Reverend Daniel preaches on righteousness, faithfulness, godliness, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. He is the epitome of a virtuous man. Now, let's listen to Reverend Daniel.
It's good to see you in the first service of the year 2023. Amen. Because you started, you end well. Ezekiel chapter 16 from verse 4 to 6. I want to preach to you on the theme, My Mess, My Glory. My mess, my glory. Tell someone sitting beside you, say, my mess will be turned around to be my glory. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 4 to 6. I'll read in the King James Version and also in the New Living Translation. And then we will read Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 34 also. Ezekiel chapter 16, 4 to 6. The Bible said, and as for thy nativity, in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of this unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou was cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou was born. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thy own blood. I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. Tell someone, tell the person, live or not die. Say, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. Praise be to God. I want to read the same scripture in New Living Translation. On the day you were born, no one cared about you. Your umbilical cord was not cut, and you were never washed, wrapped with salt and wrapped in the cloth. No one had the slightest interest in you. No one pitied you or cared for you. On the day you were born, you were unwanted, dumped in the field and left to die. But I came by and saw you there, helplessly kicking about in your own blood. As you lay there, I said, leave. Tell someone again, tell the person, leave. Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 34, the same King James Version of the Bible says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Shout, my mess, my glory. There is a popular statement that we all know of. Though this statement was popularized by the 35th U.S. president, who was John F. Kennedy, it was actually originated by an Italian diplomat by name Count Galeazzo Ciano. And what did he say? And I quote, he said, success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan, unquote. Success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan. He made this statement to present to us the true character of human beings. Human beings are such that they would like to identify with you. They would like to associate with you when they see that you are in your moment of success. But they leave you alone. They abandon you when failure knocks you down in life. When they see that you are in a mess, human beings will leave you alone. Human beings will believe in you and subsequently celebrate you when they see that you are entering different dimensions of success. But they leave you alone when they perceive that you are in a mess. That is how human beings go. But before this service will be over, you will know that God is not like man. God does not think like the way human beings think. God does not behave like the way human beings behave. When human beings are moving about looking for successful people to associate with them, God is also moving about looking for the brokenhearted, looking for those who are crushed in the spirit to identify with them. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse number 18, that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and to save those who are crushed in the spirit. Who is he who is crushed in the spirit? It is that man, that woman, whose expectation is not yet met. That man, that woman, who is wallowing in regret and pain. Is that man, that woman, who does not see help when he or she cries for help. The Lord sent me to tell you that the days of pain will be over. I said the days of pain will be over. God is getting close to you this morning in order to help you. God will bind your wound. God will heal you. When you clap your hands, grace is looking to you. When you clap your hands, grace is looking to you. Hallelujah. That individual whose hope is deferred. That individual who has played many prayers, but there is no answer. It is that individual whose spirit is crushed, who is suffering broken heart. I came to let you know that you are not alone. God is with you. Though men have abandoned you, God has not abandoned you. He is going to heal you in this year. This year, God will restore you. God will establish you. God will strengthen you. God will settle you. When you shout him, a power will locate you. The Bible said, the God of all grace, who has called you into eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, he will by himself restore you. Shout amen. He will establish you. He will strengthen you and settle you. I came to pray for somebody hearing the sound of my voice, that in this year, you will take roots downwards and you will bear fruit upwards. God is going to cause you to be strengthened. He will settle every loss. He will settle you in the land of the living. Why don't you clap your hands and celebrate that? Hallelujah. I saw God in the beginning of all beginnings, even in the book of Genesis, when God came down from heaven to visit the earth. And as a student of the Bible, I was shocked because I'm wondering why God will leave heaven, a place of beauty, a place of comfort and pleasure, a place of excellent and absolute perfection, and come on the earth. And I observed that in the scriptures, something caught the attention of God. Something caught the attention of God so much so that God did not send an angel, but he came down himself. What caught the attention of God? A mess on the earth, a messy situation caught the attention of God. And why will a mess catch the attention of God? Ladies and gentlemen, I have discovered in life that in everything that is a mess, there is something in that mess struggling to survive. In every situation that looks like a mess, there is something in that situation that is struggling to survive. If I've ever witnessed the birth of a child, when the child comes out from the mother, everything about what came out from the mother doesn't look appealing. It comes with a stench. It stinks. When you look on it, It doesn't look appealing. But in that mess, there is a child in there struggling to breathe. In everything that is a mess, there is something in it that is struggling to survive. And so a mess on the earth, Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, Bible said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You see, something that is formless, something that is shapeless. If you want to describe the earth, you can't describe the earth. It is not a rectangle. It is not triangle. It's not a circle. The thing is just shapeless. It is empty. It is full of darkness. That is a mess that caught the attention of God. But what was in the mess that was struggling to survive? The Bible made us to understand that light was in that darkness, but the light was struggling to shine. There was light in that darkness. If anyone told you that light was in darkness, you will not believe it. The darkness was so intense that it choked the brightness of the light. And that was what caught the attention of God. There is light in there, but its brightness has been effaced. Total oblivion. It means that the intensity of the light has been choked. That's why the Bible said, the God who called light out of darkness has shone in our hearts. The God said, let there be light, and there was light. In other words, let darkness disappear. Let darkness shift for light to show. This morning, there is something in you that confusion and problems have submerged. But I pray with the word of God in my mouth that let confusion shift. Let the life in you manifest. You are not hearing me at all. Let problems in your life, let them shift. Let the life of God in you manifest. I came to declare, let sickness shift. Let divine health manifest. Let poverty shift. Let riches and honor manifest. Let stagnation shift. Let supernatural spirit come upon you. Come on, shout amen like thunder. Shout another amen like thunder. Anything that has covered your relevance, we came with the word of the Lord in our mouth. Let that be shifted this morning. Let it give way. Let it give way in the name of Jesus. Anything that has covered your star, covered your relevance, we came to declare, be shifted by the power of God. Clap your hands to the preaching of God's word. Hallelujah. And so the scripture we read in Ezekiel chapter 16. It's a prophetic account of the state of God's people in the kingdom of God. The Bible says, in the day that you were born, it says, no one cared about you. In the day you became born again, you were left to chance. Nobody gave you the attention that you deserved. Nobody cared about you enough to think about how well you are growing in life or in Christ. Or in the kingdom. They left you to chance. And he said, that is not all. Though no one cared about you, your umbilical cord was not cut. Man of God, what does it mean? It means that though you are born again, some way, somehow, you are still connected to your ancestry. You are able to share in their ideology and philosophy. How they think is how you think. Though you are born again, you repeat the lifestyle of people who are not born again in your family. That is why, though they struggle in life, they are hardworking, they have nothing to prove or to show for it. And in the same way, though you are born again, you are also working hard, but you have nothing to show for it. Their relationship and marriages are full of tension and argument. And now you find yourself repeating that kind of history. But the Lord sent me with the word in my mouth. The Bible said the word of the Lord is like two-edged sword. We release the word of God into your life. And we bring disconnect between you and your ancestry. In the name of the Lord Jesus, after today, your story will change. I say your life will change. God is giving you newness. When you shout amen, power will enter you. Amen. In the day you were born, your umbilical cord was not cut. And so if witches suppress them, it looks like witches want to suppress you. Lift up your right hand. Anything in your life that has become the connection
to your ancestry to repeat their kind of history. In the name of Jesus, let there be a disconnect. Let there be a disconnect. Let there be a disconnect. Therefore, we prophesy over your marriage. Your marriage will work. Your business will work. Your career will work. Your children will not be sickless. Clap your hands to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, the day you were born, you were not washed in water to suckle you. What does he mean? When a mother is washing a baby, she puts towel in water and begins to bath the baby, but bends the baby at the joints. So the mother will take time to bend the baby at the wrist, at the elbow. She will make sure that she massages the shoulder. It's a way of making the baby flexible, so the baby doesn't grow up to become a robot. Hello, because the baby is not flexible enough. When some people are walking, they walk like robots. No part of their body is moving. Because when they were born, the water was not used to support them. They walk like somebody is pushing them. There is no flexible part of their body. Because their mother did not take time to support them with water. What does it mean? It means that in the day you became born again, you were not introduced to the word of God that will make you flexible. You see, when the mother is bathing the child and bending the child at the joint, it's teaching the child how to be compliant or to be obedient to the will of another man. Hello? So you are not exposed to the word of God that will make you submissive to the authority of God. That is why, though you are born again, still, the way you think is the same way you think. You are not flexible in the hands of God. That's why, till now, paying tithe is very difficult for you. Till now, submission to God's ordained authority in the church, you can't submit. Because in the day that you were born, you were not washed with water to support you. You have your own mind. You cannot be obedient to the word of God. It's because you won't be exposed to the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 26. Ephesians 5, verse 26. Are you still here? He said that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word of God. Are you there with me? The word of God does not only wash you, but it teaches you how to be obedient to God and his word. The authority of God, the word of God will show you that one also. And he continues to say, in the day that you were born, you were not salted with salt. Yeah, what does it mean? You see, when a baby is born, salt is applied on the baby in those days for two main reasons. Number one is that so that the skin of the baby will become tough against the harsh conditions of life. So that those communicable diseases, those contagious diseases, will not have effect on the child. Mark chapter 9, verse 49. He said, and everybody will be salted with fire, and every sacrifice will be salted with salt. When you are salted with salt, no charm, no juju power, no satanic disease can be able to have effect in your life. May your life be salted. I said, may your destiny be salted. So everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Many years ago, there was a movie that came from Nollywood, Nigerian movie. And there were some young guys who went for charms. So when you shoot at them, they'll shout Odeshi, and the bullet will become nonsense. When you stab them, Odeshi, and the blade of a knife is as if you have touched them with cotton. They don't feel it. They have been salted. Hello? When you are in the day you were born again, you've not been salted. That's why Lucifer, when witches throw arrows, it gets you back. After today, lift up your right hand. In this year, in this month, every arrow shot against you, it shall deflect back to the sender. I say, it shall go back to the sender.
it shall not enter into your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I see the angels of God stalking your life. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And any tongue that shall rise against you, you shall condemn. Every arrow is going back. Every attack is going back. This year you will not fall, but you only rise. Clap your hands to the preaching of God's word.
Hallelujah. When a child is born, he is salted. One, so that his skin will be tough. Number two, to take away the offensive smell of afterbirth. When a child is born, the child comes with a smell. But when a salt is rubbed on his body, the offensive smell is taken away. There are many people in life, though they are born again, when good people come into their lives, they don't stay for long. They go back. There is something about you, something unexplainable that makes good people, when they come, they still go. When they come, they still, they have good intentions, but they can't stay long in your life. You know, there is this odor around you that repels good people. Lift up your right hand. In the name of Jesus, anyone God will send into your life, they will stay and finish their assignment in your life. The one with the loudest amen, you will testify. In this year, we declare any good man, any good woman, any helper God is sending into your life, they shall stay in your life and fulfill the assignment in your life. Receive that capacity. Receive that anointing. Receive that testimony. In the name of Jesus, shout, I receive, I receive, I receive. Hallelujah.
And he continued to say, in the day that you were born, you were not swaddled in a cloth. You know, babies have a particular cloth that is used to wrap around them, to carry them. When you are swaddled in a cloth, it means that you've been showed care and love. In the day that you became born again, no one showed you care and love. So when someone says, I love you, you are suspecting the person. You have not been swaddled at all. When someone says, I love you, say he wants to finish me again. I've seen it before. When someone is showing you care, you ask yourself, you ask the person, why are you doing this? Just say it from the beginning so that we know. What you don't know is that God can send people into your life to show you care with no strings attached. Because it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich without adding sorrow. The Lord is saying, though you became born again, no one showed you care. In this year, starting from now, people will take up your case as though it is their own case, and they will take care of you. They will love you. Oh, I said they will love you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, they will help you. They will push you. They will recommend you. They will build your house for you. Clap your hands and shout amen like thunder. Hallelujah. He said, though you are not swaddled in cloth, you were damp in an open field, and you were left to die, and you were polluted in your own blood, in your own regret, in your own pain. And God is saying that no eye pitied you. No one looked upon you and had mercy on you. You were left to chance, and you were helplessly kicking about in your own blood. You are not born in Accra. You were born somewhere, but you find yourself in Accra to make a living. But it looks like you are alone. Anytime you are in pain, you are helplessly kicking about in your own blood. Your neighbors don't come through for you. Your colleagues don't come through for you. When you call anyone for help, it looks like they are all busy. God said, no one had pity on you. But just that time, I passed by and I had pity upon you. I passed by when I saw you helplessly kicking about your own blood. This morning I see God moving through this service. He is coming close to you. He is coming close to you. I hear the word of the Lord that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers you from them all. He said, do not rejoice over me, all my enemies. When I fall, I shall
arise again. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked and my enemies came up against me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I see God coming close to you. His shadow has fallen upon you. Your frustrations are disappearing. Your sickness is drying up. Your lack and scarcity is over because you have received the attention of Jehovah. I said, God is coming to you because of the mercy in your life. Your story is about to change, not tomorrow, but today. God is changing your story. Why don't you clap your hands? Give the Lord a shout of victory in the house this morning. Give the Lord a shout.
Come on, give Jesus a shout in the house. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Amen and amen. Amen. I see God coming close to you. Amen. When God got close to you, it's not because it is because of your mess, not because of your prayer life. There is something good in you that is struggling to survive. Do you know why you've not given up till now? Because there is something good in you. Despite the mess, there is something good in you that is struggling to survive. You are helplessly kicking about in poverty, but in you is riches, honor, and wealth. And by the word of the Lord, the poverty is drying up, and the riches will manifest. So that is my word. You are helplessly kicking about in sin, but in you is the call of God. It looks like there's so much sin around you, but in the inside of it, you know you are a good man. You know you are a good woman. God is drawing up the moment of sin, and the call of God is about to manifest in your life. Come and shout if I'm talking to you. You are kicking about in broken heart, but in you is a good spouse. You are kicking about in broken heart and disappointment, but in you is a good husband, a good wife. And the Lord said, in this year, you shall walk down the aisle. We shall sing your praises. You are not a sad person. You are not clapping your hands to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah in the house. God spoke to Moses and said, I have seen the affliction of my people, and I have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters. And he said, because I know their sorrows, and I have come down. When God comes down, ladies and gentlemen, it's not only prayer. I can't just want it to confuse your theology. So I say, if you don't pray, God is not going to come down. But there are some times, because of the things you are going through, you can't even pray. Oh, I don't have a witness. You can't even shout Jesus. You cannot even say John 3:16. You've forgotten how something like that exists. You can't sing another worship song. God said, I know your many sorrows, and your mess has attracted me to you, because there is something in you struggling to survive. What is struggling to survive will not die. I said, what is in you that is struggling to survive? It will not die. In the name of the Lord Jesus. When God comes down, he is in to change every mess into glory. When God comes down, every bondage turns into freedom. Your amen is weak. Every poverty turns into riches. Every sickness is turned into health. Every frustration is turned into satisfaction. When he came to his people, they were helplessly kicking about in their own blood. All that God did was that he did not give them money. God did not give them a company. He gave them a word. He said, leave. Hallelujah. He said, when I came to you, when you were in your blood, I said unto you, leave. When God speaks, there is always a performance. Do I have a witness in the house? When God speaks, anytime he speaks, if he has said it, then he will do it.
If he has said it, And he will do it.
Hold your hands right now.
You have a track record of keeping your word. You're not about to subdue it now. And if he has said it, then he will do it. If he has said it, then he will do it. You have a track record of keeping your word. You're not about to subdue it right now. See, you have said it.
If God has said it, he is able to perform what he has said. Bible said God is not a man that he will lie, neither the son of man that he will repent. Has he not said it? Will he not do it? I came to declare the word of God into your life. I don't care how messy your situation is, your finances may be down, but I came to declare, let it live. I don't care how messy your marital issues have become, I came to prophesy, let it live and not die. I don't know how bad your grades in school are, I came to declare, leave. I don't care how bad your employment issues are, I came to declare, leave. Your traveling opportunities may be bad, I came to declare, leave. I came to declare, leave. I came to declare, leave. Leave. This is a moment where you must take your eyes off men. Take your eyes off politicians and strengthen your trust in God. Are you there with me? I remember an incident in the Bible where a woman ran to the king for help. The Bible said the king was well dressed and was picking a stroll on his wall. In those days, the wall of a nation or a wall of a city is very thick, that six horses can run at a go, shoulder to shoulder. So the king was walking on the wall, and a woman called him from the city. The king, I need your help. I need you to help me. Then the king said, if the Lord cannot help you, how can I help you? He said, king, take your time and hear the problem I've brought to your attention. Then she said, because of the difficulty and famine in this particular nation, myself and my friend, we have come together to agree that yesterday I will kill my son and will eat his flesh. Today will be her day that she has to kill her son. You see, people can go through stuff and they do abominable things. You don't know what it is for a mother to look at her own child and kill the child. But hardship, difficulty can make people to do abominable things. But even if things will be difficult in this year, the hand of God will provide for you. I said the hand of God will provide for you. The hand of the Lord will help you. So when she said this thing, the Bible said the king was so shocked that he tore his royal apparel. When he tore his royal apparel, it revealed sackcloth. Sackcloth in those days, when anyone wears a sackcloth, it's an indication that the person is fasting and seeking the face of God. The fact that you see the king dressing well doesn't mean he's not fasting. Even the king needs help. There are some people that you go to for help and they are not able to help you. There's no need for you to blame them and hate them. You don't know what is they are going through in life. You have never seen somebody put on AC with the glasses of the car up and still sweating and having hung face towel and cleaning sweat in an AC car before. The fact that they are living in a good house doesn't mean they don't have their own cross they carry. So tell someone, take it easy. Take it easy. See, when you go for people for help and they're not able to help you, don't give them names. You give them a POP. Say, this man, his hands are hard. So you give him a nickname, Hardy Man. The man's hand is very hard. Nothing flows. It's hard. But when that man opens up to you to tell you, the heat that is under him, you know that the Lord is your shepherd indeed. So when people are not able to help you, take it easy with them. Give the Lord a clap offering. This is the time that we must take our eyes off men and put our trust in God. David looked up one day and said, I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He said, he will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keeps you does not slumber. I love that one. He that keeps you does not sleep. I came to let you know your God is not dead. Your God is not sleeping. In that very place, he's about to change your story. He's about to lift your feet from the muddy clay and set your feet upon the rock. Shout, that is my word. No sickness, no poverty can be able to remove you. If you keep your trust, the Bible said, those that trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion. They are unmovable and they are unshakable. Lift up your right hand and prophesy over your life in this year. No sickness will remove you. I say no attack will bring shame to you. You are unshakable in the name of Jesus. I see God bringing a timely intervention into your life. God is about to take away shame out of your life. May that be your story in this year. Clap your hands and shout, amen, like thunder. So Jesus spoke about this man who was making a journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. This year we are about to make another journey. And the Bible said this man fell into the hands of thieves. Bible said they beat the man and left him half dead. When you read your Bible carefully, they did not take anything of the man. They did not take his wallet. They did not take his goods. He was riding on a horse. They did not take the horse. They left him half dead. Which stands to reason that in this year, some people you've not offended may hate you so bad. Some people that don't even know you are going to attack you. They're going to say very bad things about you. But the Bible said when this man was lying in the pool of blood, a pastor was passing that particular place. That's why I told you not to put your trust in men. Because sometimes the people that you are thinking will come through for you, they'll only give proverb. They'll give you a proverb that is unrelated. That when the frog comes out from the river and tells you the crocodile is dead, you must believe it. How can that proverb help you to solve your problem in life? Are you still there this morning? The guy was lying down half dead. He's not dead. He's not alive. A pastor came by. Bible said when the pastor saw him, he passed on the other side. Sometimes your help cannot come from a pastor. Because if a pastor helps you, you see it in a microphone that he was the one who helped you. Are you hearing me? So he passed on the other side. I believe because he's not very dead, one eye, if one is going off, the other one will see that, hey, Bishop Pada has bypassed me this way. Bishop is gone. He's speaking in tongues. He's going to preach in church. The Bible said a Levite passed by. A Levite is one who has responsibilities as a politician and also has religious responsibilities. So though the person comes to church, the person is a politician, he also passed by. Bible said he came and looked on. Maybe he wants to add it to his manifesto. I don't know. He came to look on for a while. He came and looked on him. So that when he's doing his campaign, he'll tell the people that, hey, people, you need help. Do you know how I know that you need help? Now, wicked people are on your road. We must tighten security. Because the last time I was passing, and I saw a young man, about 23 years, and he's in his pool of blood, I look on him, and I realize that you need security. So that he will add it to his manifesto. But after looking on him, he went on. And the Bible said, a certain Samaritan. Some of the people that are going to help you in this year are not blood relations. You've not attended school with them. But some way, somehow, they carry the character of God. They have a heart of compassion. They have a heart of pity. I see God bringing those people your way. I see God bringing those people your way. They don't have to wait for you to narrate all your story before they'll come through for you. Put your right hand on your head. May compassion and pity locate you. May those with answers locate your life. May those carrying the key to your next level, may their path cross your path. In the mighty name of Jesus, so shall it be in your life. In Jesus' name, shout amen. Amen. The guy was in a pool of blood. The Samaritan that came, he did not ask. Many years ago, I was in a hospital. I suffered gastritis. So when I came to the hospital, I said my stomach is paining me. I was so much in pain that I couldn't talk much. The only thing I was able to say is that my stomach. It's not that some nurse became that, what is your name? How old are you? Do you have card in this hospital? Hey! Do you have card? Is this your first time? I can't talk. I can't say, my stomach, I'm doing sign language. You're asking me my name. I can't do sign language with my, I don't know how to do it. To my shock, the lady stood there. I managed to struggle to mention my name. Since then, I made up my mind, I'll never be sick again. Sickness, I'll never be sick again. Hey, the pain was so, thank God that you've never been sick before, so you don't know what I'm talking about. Thank God for your life. When the man came, he did not ask, are you an Ewa or you are a Fanti? Which tribe are you coming from? Are you a Ghanaian, a Nigerian, Liberian, or South African? To know the degree of help to help you. If you are an Ewa, say, Ewes have juju. Call on your juju to help you. He did not ask that kind of a question. A certain Samaritan. Help that will blow your mind is what God is sending your way in this season. I know that you are at a place of shame. Because the Lord spoke to me about it when I was praying. The Lord said, some of them are tired. I know you are at a place where you are tired. You are tired of explaining yourself, but help is coming to you. You are tired of giving excuse, but help is coming to you. God is going to help you in this year like never before. In the very place you have been disgraced, God will honor you. I say God will honor you. I say God will honor you in the mighty name of Jesus. The people that this man helped, none of them came around. When he was in need of help, none of them came around. Maybe you are here, you have helped people when God blessed you with substance. But now that things are tough for you, those that they have turned their backs at you, a certain Samaritan is coming in the next 7 days. I profess that reality in your life. Receive the power of God's word in the mighty name of Jesus. When the man came, he bound up his wounds. He poured in oil. He poured in wine. He poured wine in the oil, poured oil in the sore, in the wound. The Bible says he put him on his own beast, on his own donkey. That means that the people that are coming, they are people of substance. The one that is coming is not coming to join you to complain about the economy. When God is sending you help, it's not somebody that looks like he needs help, but the person who have oil, the person who have wine, and the person who have Lamborghini. Because the person is not having a car, how can he carry you to the hospital? If the person is not having the means, the best he can do is to pray for you. But at times, it's not prayer. Hello? At times, it is real help. Like paying of rent. We don't use prayer to pay rent. You walk to your landlord and say, peace be unto you. Then you respond, shalom. Then you open your mouth, katalamasuka. Hey! Palo talabasaya. Then your landlord will say, 5 years. Then you say, amen. Then say, peace be unto you. We don't use prayer to pay rent. The help you need to pay rent, the one with that ability, is coming into your life. Because your salary cannot pay your rent. So somebody with substance and speaking the word of God that you see in reality, God is going to cause it to happen in your life. I said, God is going to cause it to happen in your life. You are not a lazy man, but nobody is trusting you with business. But the favor of God that causes one to be taken from nowhere and be given trust, that favor, let it come upon you. People will give you their offices. They'll give you their businesses. They'll link you to better people to help you in the area of business. Clap your hands and shout and receive it. Come on, shout and receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus. I see God turning your mess into glory. He is turning your mess into glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of Lazarus. The Bible says that this guy called Lazarus, he needed help. He was sick. Doctors couldn't help him. The sisters, he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. They did all they know to do. They couldn't help him. He died for 4 days before God showed up. Maybe your case is sad that it is dead. Nobody can help you. Maybe you are diagnosed of HIV/AIDS. I'm saying this thing because there's a possibility that somebody is here like that. You have a particular situation that it looks like you cannot be helped. But even though Lazarus died for 4 days, the voice of the Lord came through the curtain of the living and entered into the life of the dead and brought back Lazarus. I speak the word of God into your life, that that which is dead and it is rotten, may the Lord cause it to resurrect. May God cause it to resurrect. May God give you life and evermore. Life in abundance. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, I prophesy sickness will not kill you. I say sickness will not kill you. Sickness will not kill you. In Jesus' mighty name, clap your hands for the word of the Lord. I pray for the disconnect of you and your family and your ancestry. I beg your pardon. That which causes you to repeat their mistakes. You are born again. That which causes you to repeat their mistakes. Today there is a disconnect in Jesus' name. I pray for you that God will send you help to deliver you from your mess. I pray for the release of fresh oil and the influence of the Holy Spirit. Wine is the influence of the Holy Spirit. Oil is the endorsement of God on your life. This year, when you speak, doors will open. When you cry out to God, there shall be answers. When you talk to anybody about any deal, they shall help your cause. Let that oil come upon your life. In the name of Jesus, clap your hands to God's word. Bow down your head in prayer right now. Ask God to release fresh oil upon your life.
Welcome to the podcast of Reverend Daniel Agbesi. Reverend Daniel Agbesi is the founder and head pastor of Peacekeepers Assembly International, located at Kwabena, adjacent to the community hospital. Reverend Daniel preaches on righteousness, faithfulness, godliness, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. He is the epitome of a virtuous man. Now, let's listen to Reverend Daniel.